Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a nonfiction environmental and cultural analysis by Tom Hartmann. Written as a warning about ecological collapse, it examines climate change, resource depletion, water scarcity, species damage, war, and the social habits that help sustain these crises. The book is not simply a catalog of environmental problems. It also tries to explain why modern industrial culture behaves as if long-term limits do not matter. Hartmann links environmental degradation to deeper historical patterns, including economic systems, worldview, and the stories societies tell about progress and consumption. The revised and updated third edition reflects newer urgency around rapid climate change and reinforces the book's activist purpose. It is best understood as a blend of environmental polemic, cultural critique, and practical call to action aimed at readers who want to understand the roots of the crisis and the political choices that might still alter its direction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ecological breakdown as a connected system, not isolated crises. Hartmann presents the environmental emergency as a web of interlocking threats rather than separate problems. Climate change, cheap oil depletion, water shortages, famine, disease, and warfare are treated as mutually reinforcing symptoms of a larger civilizational strain. This matters because the book argues that narrow fixes usually fail when they ignore how resource use, industrial agriculture, transportation, and political instability feed one another. By organizing the crisis as a system, Hartmann pushes readers to see environmental decline as structural rather than accidental. The strength of this approach is that it discourages complacency and reform by gesture. If the problem is systemic, then isolated consumer choices cannot substitute for policy, cultural change, and collective action. The book uses this framing to show that ecological damage is not only about nature being harmed. It is about the breakdown of the material conditions that make modern life possible. Secondly, the Younger-Older culture model as a theory of civilization and sustainability. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is Hartmann's Younger-Older culture model, which he uses to explain why some societies tend toward expansion, domination, and extraction, while others emphasize continuity, balance, and reciprocity. The model is not presented as a strict scientific law, but as a cultural lens for interpreting history and present behavior. Hartmann uses it to argue that modern industrial culture often acts like a younger culture, focused on conquest, growth, and short-term gain, even when those habits undermine long-term survival. This framework gives the book a broader anthropological dimension. Ecological crisis is tied to inherited ways of thinking, not just technology or economics. The value of the model is interpretive. It helps connect personal habits, political institutions, and civilizational choices to a deeper pattern of worldview. Even readers who do not accept every part of the framework can use it to think more carefully about what kind of culture can sustain ecological limits. Thirdly, why industrial society resists warning signs and continues destructive behavior. A central question in the book is why humanity keeps moving toward danger even when the evidence is visible. Hartmann argues that denial is not merely ignorance. It is built into cultural habits, economic incentives, and ideological narratives that reward consumption and postpone consequences. This helps explain why governments and corporations often respond to environmental warnings with delay, public relations, or minimal reform. The book suggests that modern people are trained to trust systems built on growth, efficiency, and convenience, even when those systems depend on depletion. That analysis gives the book its psychological and political edge. It is not enough, in Hartmann's view, to know the facts. People must also understand the social mechanisms that make those facts easy to ignore, by focusing on blind behavior. The book shows how environmental collapse is sustained by routine choices, institutional inertia, and a cultural preference for short-term comfort over long-term survival. Fourthly, political activism and corporate pressure as practical tools for change. Although the book is critical and often urgent in tone, it is not purely fatalistic. Hartmann repeatedly emphasizes political activism as a way to influence corporate behavior and public policy. This is one of the book's most practical dimensions because it shifts responsibility from individual anxiety to collective leverage. The underlying idea is that corporations respond to incentives, regulation, public pressure, and organized citizens. So environmental reform requires more than private virtue. The book therefore encourages readers to connect ecological concern with civic action, voting, organizing, and advocacy. This also distinguishes it from works that focus only on personal lifestyle change. Hartmann treats activism as a necessary expression of informed citizenship in a crisis that is larger than any one household. Even if readers disagree with his policy emphasis, the book's logic is clear: environmental problems on this scale cannot be solved by consumer preferences alone, because the institutions driving damage are political and economic. Lastly, A moral and civilizational argument for healing the human relationship with Earth beyond diagnosis and activism. The book makes a moral case for rethinking humanity's relationship with the natural world. Hartman frames environmental destruction as evidence of a damaged relationship between people, their communities, and the Earth itself. This broadens the book from policy analysis into a civilizational reflection on responsibility, stewardship, and intergenerational duty. The phrase often associated with the book's message is that the future must be protected for our children's children, which places ethical weight on long-term thinking. This perspective is important because it presents sustainability as more than technical management. It becomes a question of values, identity, and what kind of species humans choose to be. In that sense, the book belongs to a tradition of environmental writing that tries to change perception as much as behavior. It argues that healing ecological systems depends on healing the stories that justify exploitation and separation. In conclusion, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is best suited for readers interested in environmental studies, climate politics, cultural critique, and activist nonfiction. It offers value to anyone trying to understand why ecological warnings so often fail to produce adequate response, because it links environmental collapse to deeper patterns in economics, worldview, and civilizational history. Readers looking for a purely technical climate book may find it more interpretive and argumentative than scientific, but that is also what makes it distinctive. Compared with many environmental books that focus on one issue, such as emissions, conservation, or policy design, Hartman attempts a larger synthesis. He connects resource depletion, cultural stories, political inertia, and social change into a single frame. That breadth gives the book its unusual character. It is both a warning and a strategy text. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers think beyond isolated crises towards systemic causes and collective response. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing how environmental collapse can be understood as a problem of civilization, not only of nature. If you would like to support Tom Hartman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.